everybody, and welcome to the Antler Queens podcast. I am Media Melanie, along with Kelly and Emily.
Hello.
What's up, guys?
But before we get started, we just want to do a quick shout out for our patrons. We love our patrons. We so appreciate all of your support. So we're going to shout out Kimberly, Lucy, Kaylee, Jade, and our honorary Antler Queen, Phoenix, who also happens to be our patron of the week. So, Phoenix, we bow to you, and we thank all of our patrons for being a part of our hive. So, buzz, 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 thank you to you all.
We love you.
Yes. And if you'd like to join our Patreon hive, please visit patreon.com/antlerqueens or /theantlerqueens for some fun fan content, some perks, and all kinds of good stuff. We've actually got our quarterly fan Zoom coming up at some point before the end of the year. So make sure you sign up so you can be a part of that. And Thanksgiving is on the horizon. So we actually have a whole slew of fun items from our shop.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed. Like, my husband and I don't cook anymore. Don't make a big spread anymore for Thanksgiving because he's a vegetarian now. But man, if I were planning on doing my old cooking style, I would totally be snapping one of these up.
Yes, carve up that turkey in style. You can shop for our artisan aprons at antlerqueenspodcast.com. We've got a few different fun designs. My favorite, probably Peace, Love, and Yellow Jackets.
Yeah.
Behind it, MFQ. I feel like rocking the MFQ on Thanksgiving would be a lot of fun. So snag those up and do some shopping. So this week's episode, we have an extra special guest. We're going to be covering F Sharp, which is episode 2, When Misty Destroys the Black Box. Our guest today is actually a friend of Emily's, and he has some very specific experience in this area. He actually was a civil engineer for the Federal Aviation Administration, also a Yellow Jackets fan. Let's welcome Sohel. Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Great. Thank you.
Just wonderful. We're so glad you joined us.
I'm glad to be here. Em has been asking me about this for a while now, so.
I wish I could do better. But
I got on him to watch Yellow Jackets for months. Like, I would not leave him alone about it. Like,
true statement.
So long.
True statement.
Love that. Hey, how do you two know each other?
We met in my freshman year, which would have been his junior year of high school, in study hall. We sat right next to each other, and I wish I could remember our first conversation because I know it had to be funny. Like, there's
sure
no doubt. Yeah. So, yeah, we've known each other for quite a long
19 years later here.
Yeah.
Wow, awesome. You guys will be up for your 20th high school reunion coming up pretty soon, huh?
Yeah.
Good times. Time flies. So let's talk a little bit about your background. Why don't you tell us about your experience with the FAA?
Yeah. So right out of school, that was actually my first job, working as an engineer for the FAA. So I worked in the NavAids group. It's navigational aids. So my group, we designed all the ground-based approach lighting systems and instrument lighting systems. So it's everything that the pilot would use visually to, find the appropriate airport, find the appropriate runway, and then come to a safe landing. And then also the ground-based electronic systems that communicate with the computers on the plane that that the pilot wouldn't visually use, but the plane's computers would actually use to, make sure you're aligned with the center of the runway, that you're descending at the proper angle, at the proper speed. And then just ultimately our mission was just to make sure that the planes had safe landings. So very interesting. Got to see a lot of cool things. Got to do a lot of cool things, actually. My biggest projects were at Reagan Airport in D.C. and then Andrews Air Force Base in Maryland. So both very cool projects.
Wow, very cool. It sounds very technical. So I imagine you have a lot of excellent expertise to lend to this conversation regarding the black box. Now, we know Misty destroyed the black box. Can you just start by telling us what exactly is a black box's function or purpose?
Yeah, sure. So I just want to caveat this quickly for any pilot listeners you guys might have. I do fly a lot, but it's all as passengers. So I'm not a pilot, never have been. So I think my questions might be from a more strategic, preventative nature. Whereas, you know, pilots might be able to give you actually operational details about more specific procedures as to what's going to happen. You know, our ultimate goal is to make sure with prevention, right? Make sure that planes don't crash. So just want to caveat that a little bit, that mine's going to be more from a preventative, higher level perspective. So back to your question. The black box on commercial planes, like planes that were the size of the plane in the show, they monitor all of the speed inputs, all the control surface actions that a pilot does, and that's automatically done, and also records the conversations in the cockpit. I think I want to say it's 2 hours. It just starts recording again every 2 hours, so you have the last 2 hours of recorded conversation.
Wow, that's interesting.
In the cockpit, yeah, and then if a plane were to crash land in water, so the black boxes are programmed to, if they sense, you know, enough moisture, or if it senses that it's underwater, they start emitting, they are ultrasonic, so, you know, people can't hear it, but sonar can pick up, they're called pings. So that's how, if you were to crash in the water, you listen for these pings, and that's how you locate the plane. On land, you're not as lucky. It does not do these pings on land. The thought process behind it is that you have enough data based on the communication that a plane and a pilot has with air traffic control and radar systems, that you can extrapolate about where the plane would crash. And once you find the plane crash, you find the black box. It's actually not black. I don't know if anyone knows that, but yeah. It's like, yeah, bright orange. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a little easier to find, but yeah, if it's on land, you're not as lucky.
And we know that they were flying off course, right? Mm-hmm. They were going to Seattle and they ended up flying north into Canada. Would they still have had that data for where they would presumably have flown, or?
So I've actually thought about that. So that makes me wonder that since they did veer off their intended flight path, that how specific, and I think did this take place in the 80s?
90s, yes.
90s, okay. So just how much information was available to investigators as far as how far off path they actually did veer. And then during, you know, some of the evasive maneuvers, you're still going pretty fast. So even if you turn a little bit, you know, you're going to be miles and miles off from where people might be looking. So
that
does make me wonder how much that affected why people are not finding them.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Have there been cases of black boxes actually helping recover planes that have landed on land, or it's predominantly used for water rescue since it starts pinging then?
Yeah. So for location purposes, it's not really useful on land to have, you know, GPS on it. You need a power source. Obviously it can't break upon landing. So it would be just kind of cumbersome to have transponders as far as hardware in the box, and then to build some sort of a GPS system. I hate when people do that, to build some sort of a GPS network that would, you know, that would function globally is difficult to do. It sounds like it might be easy because, you know, we can track iPhones wherever we are, but this plane was in a pretty remote location. So, and then even if you could do it, just powering it, I mean, the black box just to release the pings, I think stays good for 30 to 90 days, depending on the manufacturer too. So to actually have a GPS on there, it would last a couple hours. Really? You had a battery the size of the unit. It's like the size of a shoebox. So.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Hmm. So if Misty had not destroyed the black box, would that have had any impact on them getting rescued sooner or no?
If you go strictly in reality, I've got to say no. I think sometimes you have to suspend disbelief for the show. Yeah. And even if not, I think kind of, I mean, this is, I'm getting into your guys' territory, but it speaks to her mindset, right? So she thought that it would prevent them from being rescued. So it just kind of talks to what her intentions were.
For sure.
And also to destroy the black box, it's not, I think, did she just pull a wire or something?
She tries to smash it with a rock first. Okay. And that doesn't work. And then she sticks her hand in and she yanks wires out. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. They're designed to withstand, you know, plane crashes. So I don't think that she would be able to disable it, but
yeah.
Is it a crime to disable a black box?
So Emily and I were talking about this. I don't know if it's a crime. I would imagine it's some sort of obstruction. I'm not a lawyer of the investigation. I don't know if it's a federal, if it's obstruction. I don't know on what level, but I
would think yes. Like it has to be a crime because that's tampering with technically, like, is that considered like government
federal property?
Yeah.
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 And when you mess with that, you get in big trouble.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Plus there's the whole, like, it's kind of a form of kidnapping, really.
Yeah.
And she's using government property to do that. So it's, you know,
very true.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, we know that she destroyed the black box because she had overheard a conversation where people were praising her. And of course, we know that Misty wants to be accepted. And, you know, we can presume she destroyed it because she knew it would make her more valuable to the group. It would keep them out there longer. They would have to rely on her. So it is interesting, you know, her mindset or the mindset of a teenager in committing such an atrocious act for her peers. And, not really caring about the consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. A little crazy.
Yeah.
What causes most plane crashes in general, would you say?
It's got to be pilot error, I guess.
That makes me feel real safe.
It is very safe. I will say that. But yeah, it's, you know, taking chances that you shouldn't. I think if you just Google it, like what causes plane crashes, I think that like in a box, it just says pilot error.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
So does weather ever play into a plane crash ever? Like, because I mean, from what I've been told, everybody always says like turbulence isn't what causes a plane to crash.
Mm-hmm.
So could it have played into it at all?
Indirectly, I think it could, because ultimately the decision comes down to the pilot, right? I mean, now we have the technology is pretty incredible on knowing what weather is going to be where, at what time. So you have to make a decision, right? I'm a big Lakers fan. And in 2020, when Kobe's helicopter went down, that awful day for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, that helicopter should not have been flying where it was, right?
Yeah,
right.
Go. Oh, I was gonna say, so I guess it was weather, but if you know the weather's gonna be there, don't fly there.
Yeah.
And they were on a private plane, Lottie's dad's plane, or was it a commercial plane that they chartered, do you think? Do we know that?
I thought it was chartered. I'm not sure now. I thought it was chartered.
Now, would that type of plane be more likely to crash versus a commercial airliner, or does it just not really matter? It's all based on the pilot's, you know, decision and course they take and all that.
If it were chartered, I don't know exactly what the guidelines are for maintenance. I know that all, you know, commercial, like major U.S. airlines have very strict protocols. You know, the pilot has to check and do visual inspections of the plane before every flight. There are very strict maintenance procedures. So I don't, it's not never, but on a commercial airline, I think it would be far in between that it would be an equipment failure that would cause a crash.
Hmm. Okay.
So I don't know how strict they are for different charter companies, but it could be a factor.
Do you think that like the systems in place that we have now, like, are better than they were in the 90s when it comes to finding an airplane if an airplane were to crash? Like, because like you said, a black box doesn't work on land. So do they have other things in place now that might help find a plane crash easier than it would have back then?
I think we do, but then you see the cases of, you know, MH370, which disappeared over the over an ocean, right? Right. I listened to many podcasts about that one.
How is that even possible?
That's another whole conversation. But yeah, I think that we do, and I think that, you know, some of it has come out of very unfortunate things that have happened, right? Like I think there was a plane crash that drove black box manufacturers to increase the battery life for how long it would actually send out these pings for crashes in bodies of water. That's why I said I think that some of them now emit pings for 90 days instead of 30, which was the original. So yeah, I think just with technological advances, inherently with technology, and then also by necessity from other plane crashes that have happened, we do.
Yeah. Well, that's reassuring.
What materials is the black box made of, and have those materials changed at all over the course of the last couple decades?
I don't know exactly what materials they're made of. I know a lot of people say, why don't we build the entire plane out of that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, from a material science perspective, I mean, that's just not efficient, right? Because then the plane's going to be so heavy, it just would not be worth flying. And it's not even so much, yes, it is made of a very resilient material that, you know, withstands heat, pressure. It's also where it's located in the plane. So they're usually in the back, in the tail of the plane, which is the safest part in any kind of crash. So I think your question was, have those materials evolved? Sure they have, but I don't know that they're significantly different now than they were 30 years ago.
Okay. When did the black box first get invented? Was it first used in like the 70s, 80s, or have they been around since the history of commercial flight?
I don't know. Man.
Sorry, I'm drilling you with FAA questions.
No, I don't want to give you the wrong answer. So I don't want to say in the beginning of commercial flight, but they have been, you know, 80s, probably earlier.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, we talked a little bit about this, you and I. In the scene when they show the plane actually crashing, they show the pilots and they're like talking about all the things that they're doing to try to prevent the plane from crashing. Mm-hmm. And they say dumping fuel, and they dump the fuel out of the airplane. So what does that do, and why did they do it?
So dumping fuel, I mean, that it actually happens more frequently than you would think. So even commercial flights that you hear about, you know, medical emergencies that you have to divert a plane and land earlier. On a lot of those, if they happen earlier on in the flight, there are maximum weights that planes have that you can land. And, you know, if you land heavier than that, there's so much more inertia that you would require a longer runway. It'd be a much harsher landing. So, when you're landing, you know, when you're trying to land in the woods, my thought would be that if the pilot saw some sort of opening, you know, it's not going to be as long as a runway, which could be 5,000 to 15,000 feet. You're not going to get that in the woods. So my thought would be that you want your plane to be as light as possible, because you're going to have, if you do somehow find an opening or something in the woods to land, you need your plane to be as light as possible so you can stop. Not run into trees, not overshoot anything. So that's why I would think that the fuel would be dumped. To a lesser extent, and I could be off on this, but it to minimize, you know, combustible material on the plane if it were to crash land. And fire prevention. So.
Wow. Well, hey, maybe the pilots actually saved the day by dropping that fuel then. So made their chances a little bit better. In your opinion, do you think that the girls in the wilderness or the adult girls are aware that Misty destroyed the black box? I know it's all speculation, but what are your thoughts on that?
Didn't she hit it, didn't she?
I think she hit it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many of them are even aware that there is a black box on those, and just chance has it that, you know, that Misty found it. I don't think that she told anyone or anyone knows. No one even said, you know, hey, where's the black box?
They do have a conversation. They don't say the black box. Shauna says to the group, like right after they crash, when they're still at the plane site before they find the cabin, she says something along the lines of like, the GPS will help them find us. Like, I don't know the exact dialogue, but she does say something like, we need to stay here because the GPS is going to help them find us. So I'm thinking that they all were under like the same assumption as to what it could have been and like what the consequences would have been if it was destroyed. Like, I don't think any of them had any like superior knowledge about planes, with the exception of Laura Lee.
Right. And, you know, speaking of Laura Lee, we have like another plane incident in the show. I mean, could that plane have ever even taken off in the first place? Or is this a total suspension of disbelief once again?
I don't.
That plane was like from like the 50s or 60s, right?
Yeah. I mean, right? When was it from? Like, what did it look like? How old did that look to you?
I think what Em said, you know, that so it was at least 20, 30 years old. And who knows when the engine was last run, you know, being a car guy, you know. The engine's not run, you have no seals, like I don't know how there's fuel in it.
Right? How is there fuel in it? Really good question. Really good.
Yeah.
Can fuel go bad?
It can. I mean, I if there were fuel in it, I think, and the engine were in good shape, even if you're 20 years old, I think it'd still work. But then they cleared like a runway somehow.
My husband made that comment too. He's like, that's crazy that they like somehow managed to create an entire runway.
I mean, there must have been a partial runway though, if the plane was there and landed before, but just right, the labor for re-clearing it after however many years. I mean, that guy's skeletal in the cabin. So that's a lot of work.
That's true. Yeah.
When you don't have a lot of food.
Yeah. I mean, they're in the 90s, and I think if I remember correctly, I think it seemed like, just from the clues that we did see, it seemed like he might have been there in like the 70s.
Yeah, with like the porno stash and stuff.
Yeah, it was very
porn stash. Porn was
very 70s looking.
Yep.
Very classy.
Yeah. So do you think like that plane would have actually been able to take off like at all?
I don't see the engine starting. So
yeah.
If we, you know, suspend disbelief there and say the engine started, I think it could if it had the runway that it did somehow.
And you think her reading that manual would have been enough knowledge for her to fly the plane in general?
She read the manual, and, you know, taking off it's not super difficult in a small plane like that. But so the hardest part of flying is landing, right? So I'm curious as to what her thought process was. I get it, like, you know, this is our last effort, so let's try it. But even if she got somewhere, landing would be, I mean, she's never flown before, so.
Yeah.
And she has no navigation either, so I don't know where she was going to go, but.
Yeah.
And I mean, she didn't make it anyway. Would you say that blowing up was bad engine, old fuel? What do you think could have led to the explosion of Laura Lee's plane?
So it seemed like a fuel leak because it started in the back, right? The fire.
They show her sitting in the plane and they show the passenger seat next to her and it has her teddy bear on it.
Right.
And the teddy bear catches fire.
Okay. I would assume fuel leak because I don't know what else would be flammable there.
Yeah.
The explosion.
Unless it's not mechanical at all and it was all trying because to keep they're trapped there. There. Yeah.
Yeah. And don't start me on that. Is that conversation?
Oh, yes. We will we'll see in subsequent seasons, you know, whether or not there is that supernatural stuff in play or, you know, if it's more just they're in the wilderness and some of the other stuff happening is more mental health related. TBD, obviously. So,
cabin fever.
Anything else on the black box? Any other comments or experience with your work that might lend itself to any other comments on destroying it?
Luckily, nothing from work. Never had to deal with crash landings from work. No, I think you guys, some good questions. I had to say I don't know more times than I would had hoped to, but I don't think any other commentary just on the black box itself.
Okay. It's kind of funny because you see on a lot of the Yellow Jackets posts where like general lay people like us have no idea about the GPS or how it works. And so I think there's still a lot of confusion in the fandom. You see, you know, when someone talks about her destroying the black box, there's always somebody that posts, there's no GPS. Yep. So,
you know, every time.
Yes. And as a lay person, I feel like I would have been in the same mindset as the teenagers out there. I would have made the assumption, you know, that it's a GPS thing, which makes it even worse for Misty destroying it. I mean, that's insane.
I mean, if I were 17, I would have thought the same thing, or however old 16 they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I still thought the same thing up until, you know, I started learning more about black boxes because of Yellow Jackets. But yes. Now, aside from black boxes and planes, what are some things that you'd like answers to in Yellow Jackets for season 2?
Oh, man.
I know there's a lot of pending questions and outstanding things we want to know, but like maybe top three.
Okay, the lady in the tree, right? So that's what everyone... Okay, so just what's happening there? She just goes in a tree and then eats dirt, or...
Bites your hand, you know? That's a whole situation.
If you had asked me this on, like, episode 8, I would have so many more questions, but then they actually do tie the loop on some of them and answer some of them. Emily and I have been texting, like, when I was watching it, I was texting her the entire time, like, oh, this makes me mad. All right, it's fine now. But, like, I really hope it's not something supernatural and it can be explained. I just like more realistic things, but it's fine if it is. It's entertaining. I'm definitely going to watch again.
Of course. Absolutely. Do you have any favorite characters, a teen and an adult? Like, who are your two favorites?
Favorite character. I think Natalie's pretty cool.
Yes.
Also, she and I drive the same car, so I like that about her.
Cool. Yeah. Love that.
I'm a big Porsche fan.
There we go. Just her, like, as a teenager, just kind of, am I allowed to swear?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's like a badass, doesn't give a shit about anything. And and then, like, you know, through as an adult, she's just so, and I don't know, it's funny to see she's in jail and just doesn't even care about it.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. If you could bring back either Jackie or Laura Lee in exchange for somebody else, who would you save and who would you put in their place?
Good one, Kelly.
I think you guys are going to kick me off for this, but I think the Wolves just sort of gotten the goalie that like had her mouth.
Van.
Yeah, you're cut. We got to go.
Sorry, later.
Be unpopular. Yeah, I just that was a very I don't know what the word is, but like they think she's dead and then they start burning her and then she starts moving like that was very visceral.
They didn't even check for a pulse. I mean, granted, it could have been a faint pulse and there were still like wolves around and lots of chaos, but I mean, at least check for a pulse. We've definitely discussed that. I mean,
yeah
and then who to bring back? not because I love, I don't, I'm kind of indifferent toward her, but Jackie, because I think it could have made for some good drama if she were alive as an adult.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
All right. Good choices. Minus the van, of course. We'll let it slide. We'll let it slide. Yes. Well, girls, do you have any other questions?
I don't think so.
Not on my end.
No? Okay.
All right.
Well, we cannot thank you enough for coming on and educating us about black boxes. I know there are a lot of people out there that were like us and really, you know, had some assumptions about them. So we appreciate the clarity and you sharing all of your expertise on your experience. So
no, absolutely. I've never gotten to do anything like this and you guys are very passionate about it, obviously. So glad I could come on here and do something like this for the first time.
Yes, you made a wonderful guest expert and we appreciate you taking the time and thank you. And, you know, if any of our viewers have any or listeners have any more black box questions, feel free to drop them in the comments and, you know, we can send them along and get some answers for you if there's something that we missed. So, yay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Sohal. And Emily, thank you for having such awesome friends. And thanks that you guys met in high school and here we are today. So yes. I love this. Yay.
All right. Thank you all.
Thank you. And we'll send you a link to the episode once it's posted.
Sounds good.
All right. Awesome. Thanks, Sohal.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. Whew. Well, that was fun. And like, what a fountain of knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really interesting. I learned a lot that I know nothing about how black boxes work, or I didn't, but you know, I feel a little more knowledgeable now. So that's
cool. I didn't know that they only worked in water, which yeah. Like to me that makes, I mean, like he just said though, with like the whole GPS thing and the battery life when it comes to it, but it's 2022. Like mm-hmm. How do we not have like something like that in place for land, for crashes that happen on land, because you would think finding them on land would be easier than finding them in water.
It's really strange.
It is bizarre, but you know, his answers were so informative because again, like I feel like there's a lot of us that had these assumptions and had no idea, you know, that it was just in water. I had no idea. Yeah. I just, you know, we all kind of assumed.
Do you both think that like in the show's universe, like they aren't intending for the black box to work the same way that it does in real life? Like there might be different rules in the Yellow Jackets universe when it comes to the black box than there does in real life.
I feel like in a way it's like the teenage mindset. Like they're not well informed. And as we found out, most average people aren't either. So, you know, I think, they were probably going off of like what the general population's assumptions about a black box would be. And maybe it doesn't matter as much the actuality of it because, you know, it didn't lend them getting rescued or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are, you figure like even on shows where there are experts on a particular subject, they'll still just completely botch it as far as, you know, accuracy and realism goes.
Yeah.
So I don't even know how important it is to them, really. But, you know, it probably does them better to just like treat that with complete ignorance.
Yeah.
And so really, too. I feel like the whole reason they even introduced it is not having anything to do with the GPS. It's more just the intent of Misty destroying
it,
feeling wanted and trapping them out there for longer, you know, even though it never would have, you know, helped them get rescued anyway. It's really just all about the intent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we've run a few polls on Reddit and Twitter. The first one was destroying the black box the worst thing Misty ever did? So 57.7% of respondents said, no, there's worse, whereas 42.3% said, oh, yeah. So even though this was a terrible thing and, you know, she meant to do it so that they wouldn't get destroyed, there's worse things that she's done in the minds of many fans. I mean, Jessica Roberts, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think that tops the black box for me.
Yep.
The killing of Jessica Roberts. I can't decide.
Like, I can't really decide. The Jessica thing obviously is pretty bad. I mean, that's murder.
Yes.
But
abusing her elderly patients is bad too.
Yeah.
That's real I mean, bad.
With the black box, though, if she really felt like what she was doing was going to keep them out there longer, she was risking all of their lives.
Oh, yeah.
It's kidnapping, like you said.
Yeah. And yeah. I mean, that's why Laura Lee basically died, because they were out there for as long as they were. And she was, you know, desperate to find a solution. Same with Jackie, you know. And it, you know, obviously, like, we can't blame those deaths on Misty, but she.
It was like a domino effect, though.
Exactly. I mean, if she thought they were results of what she thought she was doing.
Yep.
So that's pretty bad. But yeah. I also think something is up, though, with her dating life that we're going to find out about later. Like, there's something suspicious going on. I don't know. I mean, she seemed way too, like, with that Stan guy, she seemed way too intent on getting him back to her house and disabling her car. And
she's got the basement all set up and ready to go for prisoner. So who's to say she is not kidnapped and killed one of her Tinder dates?
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a feeling, I mean, he didn't seem like, I hate to make judgments even when it comes to fictional characters, but he seemed like he might not be necessarily the most socially adept person in the world. And so she could be like preying on people that don't seem to have a lot going on in their lives. I mean,
yeah,
who knows, you know?
She's quite a mastermind, that MFQ. She really is. As far as the other polls that we did, we were speculating on whether or not the other girls will find out that Misty destroyed the black box. We touched upon it earlier. Reddit, 333 people said they will never find out because Misty would be dead. 169 people, yes, they find out post-rescue. And 208 people said, yes, they find out while still stranded in the wilderness. So that's interesting. Most people think they'd never find out. And that's a good point, because, you know, someone probably would have killed her, right? I mean, no one's going to let her get away with that, even if they don't know how black boxes work.
Yeah, I mean, and they wouldn't. Like, if they did find out while they were out there, they would have no way to know that it had no impact on their rescue at all until after they get rescued. So they would all be thinking the exact same thing that Misty was thinking, like that it functioned. I think they all had the same mindset about it, like as to how it functioned. And if they thought that it would help them, like that trumps it actually helping them, because that like Misty would be completely ostracized from that group, I feel like, if they found out while they were out there. Like, it would be like a death sentence for her.
I totally agree.
Can I throw a kind of like baseless theory out there?
Sure. We love baseless theories.
I have a feeling that they don't know yet, that the adults do not know about it, but that they will find out, and that we will find out that somebody actually saw her.
I agree with you. I don't know about the seeing her part, but I definitely think that them finding out as adults would add so much to the storyline.
Yeah.
So who would have seen her do it, and why would they keep it a secret? That's interesting in itself.
Exactly. Mm, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking about. Like, somebody would have to have a reason for keeping quiet.
Unless it was, what if it was Lottie, and Lottie tried to frame it as it's not a bad thing that we're stuck out here, like because she is like in her element being out there and she's okay with being out there. So if she knew that information, she might try to frame it in a different way and be like, that wasn't a bad thing, like that was a good thing, like we belong here, this is where we need to be.
And that mindset is not out of the realm, given that she's, you know, off her meds and, you know, obviously struggling with some mental health things. So, I mean, that could totally, totally be a thing.
Yeah.
Whew. And, you know, Twitter had something different to say. Twitter said 52% of people said, yes, the girls find out that Misty destroyed the black box. We did not differentiate on whether or not that's in the wilderness or in the present day. But it's interesting. It seems to be a split of people thinking, you know, that they found out, they didn't find out. So that's a question that will be interesting to see if it's answered in subsequent seasons.
I'm wondering if they stumble upon it while they're out in the wilderness, and that might raise questions, but they don't ever get any actual answers to those questions, because I can't see Misty being like, yep, I did that, like, out of nowhere. Like, she's very calculating with what she does.
Well, right. You know what? It's, I'm going back to the idea of somebody witnessing her destroying it. I feel like it would, I feel like if anybody saw her destroy it, it would, I mean, the most likely people would be Van and Laura Lee, right? Because they were,
because they walked right past her.
But, you know, I, what if like Shauna got up and went for a walk and Misty somehow knew about her and Jeff?
Blackmailed her.
Yeah. And Shauna saw her and confronted her, and Misty was like, if you say anything, I'll tell Jackie that you're sleeping with Jeff.
I mean, it could be.
I mean, Shauna does have some like super, super hatred towards Misty, like as adults anyways.
Yeah.
Like something happens out there that makes Shauna feel a certain way about Misty.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And you know, even if they had found the black box destroyed at some point out there, would they be able to differentiate between having it been destroyed by a person versus having it been destroyed in a plane crash? Like, I feel like she could even still talk her way out of it. Like, the only way they'll find out is if somebody saw, or if she admits it. And I mean, how would that come out? You know, I mean, how does that slide out? That's a little, little scandalous.
Yeah.
I have a, like, I have a hard time believing, though, that she would be able to convincingly deny doing anything to it. If they did find it, like, if they found it and thought, this doesn't, you know, this is supposed to, what the hell, this is like, these are supposed to withstand crashes with no problem, and how is it so messed up, and like, it, you know, if somebody suggests that maybe it was tampered with or something, I don't think Misty, at least young Misty, I think she's gotten a lot better over the years, but I don't think young Misty is that good of a liar.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she'd be able to really, I mean, she fessed up like right away to, you know, to the mushrooms being hers.
Yeah.
Good point.
Like, so, yeah, I don't know.
I feel like maybe the reason why she did that was because she didn't feel like she was responsible, because Mari was the one that actually put them in the stew. That's true. I think in Misty's mind, like, that totally, like, negates the fact that she was involved at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not wrong. Like, you know, she wasn't the one to put the damn mushrooms in the stew, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Goodness.
Silly Mari.
I also think it's funny they call it a black box and they're orange.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know where the term black box came from.
Was it black on the show or was it orange? I feel like it was black, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so they kind of flubbed that one.
It had a red flashing light on it. Like, that's how she saw it. She saw the red flashing light that was, like, emitting, like, it just kept going off and on, off and on, off and on.
But why was it emitting a light if it doesn't even have GPS on land? Was that, in fact, an error?
I don't know. And on the box, it says flight recorder. Like, it says flight recorder on the outside. So that is exactly what we've been talking about. That is what a black box is. It's a flight recorder, which I think it's really interesting that it records the pilot's conversations.
Oh, yeah. I would love to know, you know, what else they were talking about besides dumping fuel. I mean, you know, like Sohal said, it's pilot error, you know, that's typically causes plane crashes. So I would love to see what those pilots were saying and, you know, probably kicking themselves from the grave for going over Canada and going off course. Maybe they would have been better staying the course. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows?
Well, So much to speculate about. And actually, today's the 1 year anniversary of the premiere of Yellow Jackets on Showtime. So let's just thank Showtime really quick for bringing us one of the best new shows that, yes. I mean, I think we've all seen in a really long time. It's hard to cut through the, you know, constant new shows on streaming and television, and to bring something like this that's become such a fan favorite, you know, within just one season, to be nominated for 7 Emmys in its first season. What an incredible feat. And I think I speak for all of us when we say we cannot wait for season 2 to get here. Emily, oh, you no. keep saying, all I want for Christmas is a Yellow Jackets trailer, and I am right there with you.
Yes, that would make my Christmas if they gave
you know what
that to
I mean.
Us.
It's been the fall has been flying by so yeah. far. It's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Just a few more months. Too.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, like we've talked about for season 2, we're going to do our reaction episodes shortly following the new episodes that air. We're going to focus more on the analysis, the speculating, the theories, less kind of like, you know, summing up the episodes, more reaction, more analysis. So we're really excited to really dive extra deep once season 2 does get here.
Yes.
I still want to figure out a way to easily take calls, because I know that there's a way that you can do that fairly easily. Or just, I mean, because, you know, it's the platform that we use to stream is somewhat limited. And I mean, you can't just be like bringing people on and, you know, over and over again, right?
You can have 10 people and they can rotate in and out. So it's actually pretty easy to manage. When we did a podcast for the 90210 show in StreamYard, where we brought on a fan from every state, like 3 fans from every state, and then from 30 different countries. So we had people like rotating in and out. It's just backstage management. But you know, Twitter has the audio situation now where we could do like a Twitter space.
We gotta get on that.
We can go live on Instagram and bring a couple of fans on. So we've got a few different ways that we can do that. And like I said, we've got our fan Zoom that's going to be coming up soon for our patrons. And we've been talking about incorporating some trivia and prizes into that. So if that's something you'd like to be a part of, again, visit patreon.com/theantlerqueens. We've got lots of fun perks for all of our fans there.
Yep. Help us keep the lights on.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, again, speaking of, if you'd like to support us with the purchase, we have a slew of super fun merch, including aprons just in time for Thanksgiving. So, again, carve up that turkey in Shauna style. We've got all kinds of really cute designs there. And one more shout out to our honorary Antler Queen, Phoenix. We bow to you. We thank you for all of your support. And to our other patrons, Kimberly, Lucy, Kaylee, and Jade. So just, you know, thank you to each and every one of you. We super appreciate all of your support. And yes, we love you.
Yes. Yep. It means a lot.
Yay.
All right. Well, should we skedaddle out of here then, ladies?
We shall. Kelly and Emily.
What's up, Melanie?
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Buzz off.
Antler Queens out.